Well, you got to deal with me 2 weeks in a row, so I don't know what to tell you. Here it is, man. I'm all wound up. I'm about to bring you something. I hope you came caffeinated this morning, because I did. But, man, Pastor Jimmy and Annette, they're going to be back in the house next week. We're so excited to have them back. They've gotten to rest. They've had their cups filled, and we're so excited for them to come back and to pour out on us all that God's been doing in their lives. But for one more week, you get me, and we're going to dive into something really interesting this morning. I want to preach a message to you today, and the title of this message is called Counterfeit Connections. Everybody say Counterfeit Connections. I want to pose a question. Maybe you've thought this or asked yourself this. Maybe you couldn't admit it out loud, but internally you thought, why do I feel so alone? Why do I feel so alone? You're thinking, who, me? Who, me? It can be a hard thing to admit for many. And sometimes when we feel this sense of deep loneliness, our instinct is to just suck it up. Just press through it. Just ignore it. It'll go away, right? I'm just being a weakling, right? I just need to cast that aside. The reality is everyone deals with this. And if you believe the statistics, which I do, in fact, men deal with deep chronic loneliness and aloneness at an even higher rate than women do. And apparently the older we get, the worse this gets. It doesn't get better for most people. So it's not like a symptom of youth or a symptom of just immaturity or something that you grow out of. In fact, if you don't learn to deal with loneliness God's way, it'll grow. And you'll feel less and less able to even talk about it. And I want to start with a scripture, Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. At the very beginning, God has just created the world. He's created man. And just after this, it says this in verse 18. It says, then the Lord God said, it is not good. Somebody say, not good. For man to be alone. He said, it is not good for man to be alone. In fact, this is the very first not good thing in the Bible. Everything that God has done, everything that's happened up to this point, God said, it's good, it's good, it's good, it's very good. But then we get to the first not good thing in all of creation. And what is it? It's God saying, it is not good for us to be alone. And then he immediately poses a solution in this first case where this is real. He says, this is God talking. He says, I will make a helper. Somebody say, a helper. Who is just right for him. Talking about Adam in this case. God says, I've got an answer to this problem. And I believe that chronic loneliness, a deep, aching, soul-level sense of feeling alone, is the silent assassin in our modern culture of living a vibrant life that God has called us to live. And I want to assassinate the assassin this morning. Is anybody down to do that with me today? Come on. But man, if you don't believe that loneliness is dangerous, that you don't believe what God said about how not good this is, let me just give you a couple examples. There was a man named Admiral Richard Byrd, and he volunteered in 1934 for a 5-month-long assignment at an isolated base in Antarctica. And he wanted to go there. He was going to be totally alone on this base. And he thought, he was excited about it. He's like, man, I'm going to have time to think. I'm going to have time to have my own thoughts, to write, to just be able to think about my life and all these things. He went in excited about it. But within weeks of being there, he started having hallucinations. And a deep despair settled into his life. He started having memory problems and emotional instability, and it got worse and worse and worse. And you know what was even worse of all? Is he wouldn't tell anybody what was happening, even though he had a radio and he could have gotten help at any time. He was borderline crazy by the time they finally got him out of there. Here's another example. In the 1800s, there was a prison, Eastern State Penitentiary, that got a bright idea of a new way to help prisoners reform. And they decided they were going to expose their prisoners to near total isolation for extended period of time. And their thesis was, hey, if we just isolate them, it's going to help produce repentance in them. It's going to help make them consider what they've done and help them reform. And so they isolated the prisoners from one another for extended periods of time. And instead of helping them, without exception, the prisoners became mentally ill. They started hearing voices. They had severe depression set in, and they literally lost the ability to function socially and had to be rebuilt when they came back out of this. And they had to cancel the program because it was a complete failure. I'll give you another example of this. We see this with little babies. Did you know in the early 1900s, in orphanages that had babies, they started to realize that the babies in these orphanages had a mortality rate of almost 70%. 70% of these little babies were dying, even though all of their physical needs were met. And what it took them a minute to realize is that what was happening is these babies weren't being interacted with, they weren't being touched, they weren't being held, they weren't being talked to. And that alone, as a baby, the deep loneliness produced from a lack of interaction and affection and touch and care was literally leading them to die at the rate of 70%. Do you believe this is dangerous yet? Are you hearing me? In 2023, the United States Surgeon General warned that chronic loneliness has the same health risks as smoking 15 cigarettes a day. This is the U.S. Surgeon General. And it increases the risk of premature death by 26 to 32%. Science has shown us that our brains treat loneliness like physical pain. And literally, chronic loneliness causes a physical health decline in people. It increases heart disease. It increases blood pressure. It weakens your immune function. It causes inflammation. This is all proven. It increases the onset of dementia. It lessens sleep quality. This is like one of those ads for a pill that you see on TV where it's like, here, take this thing. You won't have to deal with anybody's crap or whatever. Side effects may include death and trauma and brain injury and all. I mean, we think this is a good idea, so I don't need people. All I need is me, right? People are just a nuisance anyway. I don't need connection. And yet this is what it produces. And what's most crazy of all is that we live in the most connected generation in the history of the world, and this problem is worse than ever. Do you realize this? In 2025, Cigna and Evernorth did a survey called the Loneliness in America Survey. You know what they found? This is crazy. 57% of Americans are experiencing profound, persistent loneliness. 57% of us. And that rate has doubled, guess what, since COVID. And it hasn't gone down, even though COVID is in the rearview mirror. It doubled at COVID, and it hasn't gone down. 31% of people in America report feeling lonely at least some of every single day. The World Health Organization launched a commission on social connection. Why? Because loneliness has become such a widespread issue globally. So I know that's a lot of stats for you, but I'm trying to lay out the actual situation that we're in because we don't admit this to each other. We're not voicing this, and we're not facing this in most cases. You know what this makes me think of? This makes me think of my number one top pet peeve when I travel. Maybe some of you can relate to this. When I go to the airport, it seems like without fail, I'm always trying to sit in one of those chairs at the gate that's got a plug-in, that's got a connection where I can charge my devices. And it seems like every time without fail, I end up sitting in the row where you plug in the device and it doesn't work and there's no power. And so I moved to another seat. I'm like, maybe this one will work. Nothing. Move over here. No, literally, our last trip, I probably sat in 15 different places trying to find a plug that worked. And then you get on the airplane, and the airplane's like, free Wi-Fi, free connections. And then, yeah, okay, there's the signal. It's showing up on my dice. I click it. It shows, hey, we got bars. But even though it's got bars and it's saying I have signal, it doesn't work. And then to top it all off, when I get home and I get in my car says, wireless charger, just set your phone here. I set it on there, but because of the stupid huge camera bump on it, it won't actually connect to it. I can't get a connection no matter what I do. Can anybody relate to this besides me? It's like empty promises of connections are everywhere. And this is exactly what's happening to us in our spiritual lives. There is an empty promise of connection everywhere in our culture, and yet we are more lonely and more isolated than we've ever been as a people. I mean, think of some of these counterfeit plugs in our lives that we have that don't work. Social media, man, likes and followers and attention, but yet it leaves you empty and powerless and hollow. Constant entertainment, always something we can entertain ourselves with. Busyness, man, a full schedule is a full life, right? How about digital communication? All the time talking to people, but never having that physical presence of it being eye to eye and face to face with somebody. And so it's like, man, I've been talking to people all day, and yet it somehow has left me empty. How about casual sex? I mean, some of these things are good things, but some of these things are bad things, but good or bad, the point is these things don't solve the soul level ache that we all have. Casual sex, dating apps, man, just keep swiping, you'll find it. Career ambition, man, throw yourself into your job. Consumerism, buy, 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 buy. I can buy with a click, buy with a click, buy with a click. Dopamine, 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 that'll take care of it, right? Alcohol, substances, man, but when the buzz fades, the pain stays. How about pornography, man? Intimacy with no risk, right? Easy connection. How about tribal politics? Man, that's a big one around here, man. I just got to find my group and we'll have the same enemies. We've got shared enemies, but maybe we don't have shared life. Y'all hearing me this morning? What's the latest stuff? AI companions, right? They'll respond to you 24/7 anytime you want. And guess what? Even better, they'll tell you exactly what you want to hear. Only problem is they're not real. And you're hollow. But there's people dating these things because we're so aching for something we're trying to fill with a powerless connection. Are you all hearing me this morning? Endless noise in our lives. And then maybe the worst one of all, church attendance without biblical community. And this is dangerous because it sounds so spiritual. I go to church. I attend the events. But does anybody know you? I mean, like, really know you? Do you really know anybody, or are you just there? And these connections don't solve the problem. It's like, you know, if this is you, and it's like, okay, all right, I'm going to try. Okay. Oh, here it is. Pornography, man. Intimacy, no risks, right? And it's like, oh, man, look, all kinds of ways, opportunities to connect to it. So I'm gonna hook myself up to this. And then, all right, I'm just going to power this on here and just hold this down, right? Man, this should give me all the power I need, right? And, oh, man, you ever see that? The little red thing? It's like, nope, connection's not working. And you're like, okay, but, oh, wait a second. This is not connected to anything. Okay, all right, wait. So maybe it's career ambition and a little bit of casual sex. Yeah, that'll be it, right? So I'll just plug this in right here and, yep, all right, powered up. Oh, man, still nothing, right? And so you're like, okay, it's not that one. And you're like, all right, here we go. Bunch of plugs, building my career, building my ambition. Still got nothing. That doesn't work. And you keep going. Man, all right. Social media, tribal politics. This is what's going to do. I mean, you keep plugging in and you keep getting the same result, the empty promise, and yet the ache in your soul remains. Are you hearing me this morning? Listen to me. Modern culture gives us more ways to connect than ever, yet we are the loneliest people that have ever lived. We have contact without closeness, followers without friendship, entertainment without fulfillment, sex without intimacy, and noise without peace. We're plugged into everything, and somehow we still have no power. And part of this is we are broadly seen, but we are not deeply known. Everyone today can easily be seen and heard by an audience. But it's rare to be known and loved for who you really are. Who you really are. I mean, honestly, what do you feel on the inside when the noise dies down and you get quiet? Do you ever hear that thought? I'm no one. Or I have no one. Or I'm not really known by anyone. Or who would want to know me if they really knew me? And the power just drains and drains, and you just get that little empty battery of death saying, nope, you got nothing. Here's the deal. Every single human being experiences loneliness. You know, even some of the greatest people in the Bible talked about the loneliness that they walked through. Elijah experienced loneliness after the greatest moment in victory of his life on Mount Carmel. Did you know that? Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, regularly had visitations of loneliness. Talks about it in Scripture. Job experienced seasons of loneliness. You know, Paul talked about loneliness when he was betrayed by people and left on his own. Jesus experienced loneliness in the Garden of Gethsemane when he couldn't even get those closest to him to hang with him in prayer, even for an hour. And then ultimately on the cross, when the Father had to turn his eyes away from Jesus, and Jesus cried out, Father, why have you forsaken me? Jesus knows what loneliness feels like. David, King David, experienced loneliness. In fact, he talked about it quite a bit in the Psalms. Psalm 25, verse 16 is a good example of this. He flat out says, David says, I am lonely and afflicted. So it's not like some sign of being a spiritual giant that you never have loneliness. Everybody experiences loneliness. Here's the thing. It's meant to be a visitor in your life, but it's become a chronic and a permanent resident in many of our lives. Loneliness is meant to be a visitor. It visits for a moment. It visits for a season, and then it goes. It's not ever meant to be a permanent resident, and it's that chronic, permanent residence of aching loneliness that never goes away that's killing us, that's causing all of those stats that I read to you earlier. All kinds of things can trigger a visitation of loneliness. I mean, somebody betrays you, it can trigger it. You lose friends, it can trigger it. The death of a loved one can trigger the visitation of loneliness. A major life change can trigger the visitation of loneliness. But if you're in the position God wants you to be, it visits and then it leaves. So here's my question. What is the root then of chronic, unremitting, aching, soul-level loneliness that's hard for us to talk about? And you may be thinking to yourself, well, duh, Brian, I just need to have more good friends and more deep, authentic human connections. And is that a good thing? Yes, but that's not actually the answer. That's not the real, actual answer. So let me give you a few more examples of people who defied the odds. I showed you what happened when the guy went to Antarctica, was isolated, and the babies weren't touched, and all those examples. Let me give you a few different kind of examples. Richard Wurmbrand, he was a Christian who in 1948 and in 1959, on two separate instances, was arrested and imprisoned by the communists in Romania for his faith because he refused to compromise with state atheism. And in both cases, one for a period of 8 years and one for a period of 6 years, he was arrested, imprisoned by the communists, and thrown in solitary confinement for the majority of that time. In fact, the prisoners were forbidden to speak to one another most of the time. And he was known as a man who, while he was in there, he would preach to himself, he would recite scripture, and he was known as a man who experienced deep joy. In fact, he had a quote where he said one time, he says, we were terribly lonely, but, somebody say but. But Christ's presence was so real that I would not have exchanged that prison for a king's palace. Something different happened with this guy. When he got out of there, he wrote a book called Tortured for Christ, which has sold millions of copies and gives the account of all the ways that Christ met him in the midst of that isolation and produced deep life in him. Amazing. How about John Bunyan? You may have heard of this guy. He was in prison for 12 years, get this, for preaching without a license in England. in the 1600s for preaching without a license. And what they did is they separated him from his church, separated him from his family, and they separated him from his blind daughter that he deeply loved and missed so much. But instead of being broken during those 12 years of isolation, you know what John Bunyan did? He wrote a little book during that time called The Pilgrim's Progress. If you haven't heard of that book, it is the number two selling book of all time after the Bible. It sold 250 million copies and gives one of the best allegories of the gospel ever written. He wrote that during his isolated time. And he was quoted as saying this. He said, "Christ's comfort in prison often exceeded what I had experienced outside of prison." So how did this isolation not touch him like it did those other people that I talked to you about at the beginning? How about Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16? He says this. He says, "At my first defense," he was being literally taken to trial for preaching about Jesus. He says, "At my first defense, no one came to my support. Everyone deserted me." Betrayal. He says, "But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength." You see, Paul acknowledged the pain of abandonment, the opportunity for loneliness, but he also acknowledged something greater, the reality of Christ's presence with him. How about John, the Apostle John, on the Isle of Patmos? They tried to literally boil him in oil, and he would not die. So they literally cast him out as an exile on a lonely island by himself on Patmos and imprisoned him out there. He was isolated, removed from ministry, removed from church, removed from contact with people. And you know what happened to John while he was on that island? He had the most profound encounter with the risen Jesus of his life. And out of that came the book of Revelation. Not the same experience as what so many are having. So what happened to these guys? What were these guys experiencing? I believe it's described right here in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. It says this, "It's for he has said," Jesus has said, "I will never under any circumstances desert you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support, nor will I in any degree leave you helpless, nor will I forsake you or let you down or relax my hold on you. Assuredly not." And that is precisely what these guys described was their experience. So I have a question for us. Why not us? Why is this not our experience when we're cast into situations that cause loneliness to visit? Why do we get trapped in the profound permanent residency of it rather than being liberated from it with the very presence of Jesus himself? Because that promise in Hebrews 13, that's the kind of promise that only God can make to you. Nobody can look to you honestly and say, "Hey, I'll never leave you, I'll never desert you," except for God. Are y'all hearing me this morning? So why them, but maybe not always us? Can I tell you why? The root of chronic loneliness is this: disconnection from God. The root of chronic loneliness is one thing and one thing alone: disconnection from God. And all of our counterfeit connections that we throw ourselves and our lives and our energy into over and over again, they produce the fear and the sin and the shame and the guilt that just keeps us more and more disconnected from the God who produced what he did in John Bunyan, from the God who sustained Richard Wurmbrand and John and Paul. There is a place you can be where you are saved, but you are separated from fellowship with God. And it is a terrible place to live as a believer. You can be saved, go into heaven, but by your choices, disconnect yourself from the God who brings life and healing and wholeness and causes you to feel known and loved in a way that fortifies you in every circumstance. Because you're not powered into the one who actually runs the software that you are built on. But if I find that secret place and that hidden plug, and I connect to him. Man, I hope this charger is a good one. Oh, there it is. The power comes on. And as long as I keep that connection, it charges and it charges and it charges until it's full to capacity. But as easy as it is to draw near to him and seek him, is as easy as it is to go, ooh, look at this. Man. And you may even have a little bit of charge left. And so at first you think it's working, but you're draining. And then when the real problems hit, you're on an empty tank and you got nothing. You got nothing. Is anybody hearing me this morning? Is this making sense? Listen to me. You were made by God for connection with him, for communion with him, for relationship with him, and to do it all with a clear conscience before him. A clear conscience. And I'm going to tell you something. The presence of chronic loneliness in your life is a flashing warning light that maybe this connection isn't fully secure. I'm not saying you're way over here, but maybe you're like this. Have you ever thought something was plugged in, but it was like that? You're like, I'm close, but we need to go like this and give him everything. Jonah said it yesterday. Pastor Brian reiterated it. Why do we expect to have the peace of God in our lives when God only gets a piece of our lives? Plug all the way in is what he's saying. Are you hearing me this morning? This isn't deep, but it's real. Listen to this quote. This is from St. Augustine, one of the early church fathers. He said this. He says, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it finds its rest in you." What's he talking about? He's talking about the same thing that the psalmist was talking about in Psalm 42, verse 2, where the psalmist cries out. He says, "My soul thirsts for God, for the living God." There's only one remedy to an aching soul. It is Jesus and a vital connection with him and him alone. People cannot substitute for that connection. Nothing can. Tribal politics and pornography and busy schedules and alcohol and church attendance and all of the counterfeit plugs out there. None of this substitutes for the connection with the Creator. Because only he runs your software. Nothing else powers your operating system than the Creator of the universe himself. Can you hear me this morning? This is why it says this in 1 John chapter 2. I love this set of verses. This is out of the Message paraphrase. It says, "Don't love the world's ways. Don't love the world's goods. Love of the world squeezes out love for the Father. Practically everything that goes on in the world," here it is, "wanting your own way, wanting everything for yourself, wanting to appear important, has nothing to do with the Father." But look at this. It just isolates you from him. That's the ache in your soul. I want everything and anything except what I actually need, which is him. And it isolates you from the Father. It says, "The world and all of its wanting, wanting, wanting is on the way out. But whoever does what God wants is set for eternity." Is set for eternity. Whoever does what God wants, who finds him, draws near and says, "God, everything I have, I'm plugging into you." Is set for eternity. The power comes on. Are you all hearing me? In Proverbs 18:1, we're warned. It says, "A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire, the wanting, wanting, wanting stuff, ideas, counterfeit connections, career and busyness and sex and all of the social media and all the things." A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. The reality is most of our isolation is actually self-imposed. Most of that deep loneliness is self-imposed. You know, I watched with one of my sons recently the Lord of the Rings series. I don't know if you've seen those, but one of the characters in that is a creepy character named Gollum. And Gollum is obsessed with the Ring of Power. Here, put him up on the screen. Really creepy looking guy. And he's so obsessed with this thing that he wants, this thing that he's after, that he becomes completely isolated. He starts withering away and decaying. And anytime anybody else tries to come in his orbit and talk any sense into him, he thinks they're just trying to steal from him the thing that he wants. This obsession is what happens when we're disconnected from the one who runs our software. We want everything and anything because we're desperately trying to quench the ache in our soul, and we see everything else as a threat to it, especially God. You know, the quickest path to loneliness and despair, you know what it is? It's a constant meditation on an obsession with yourself, your own problems, your own life, your own desires, your wants, your own reflection in the mirror. It has a paralyzing effect on the life that God designed for you to live. Why? Because the Bible tells us we were created to fix our eyes not on ourselves, but on Him. Right. That as we look to Him to fulfill our every need, our every desire, that only then can He power that which is deep inside of us, which all of those other things can't. So when we look to Him and stop looking to ourselves and all the things that we think are going to give us what we want. You know, the core issue that Jesus ultimately came to deal with on the cross, you know what it was? Separation. Disconnection. We were eternally separated in an irreparable way from the Father, who is holy and perfect and just, who is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And the darkness of our hearts couldn't coexist in the light of His presence. And He said, we got a problem. You get near me, you die. So unless we fix what's going on in your soul and your heart, we can't have connection. We can't have relationship. So He sends Jesus to take on Himself the very things that separate you from the Father. And when you submit your life to Jesus, He removes the junk and the dirt and the filth and the disconnection, and He gives you the path to say, now you can connect to the Father. The door is open. The veil is torn. You have access to God. This is what Jesus came to deal with. That's why it says in John 14:21, it says, Jesus talking, He says, the person who has my commands and keeps them, who plugs into me, is the one who really loves me. And whoever really loves me, look at this, will be loved by my Father. In other words, you will experience His love for yourself. It was always there, but now you're experiencing it because you've plugged into Him. He says, and I will love Him, and I love this promise, and I will reveal myself to Him. I will make myself real to Him. Why did John Bunyan prosper where others would have withered and died? Because Jesus made Himself real to him. Because He said, I don't just have your commandments, Lord. I'm giving my whole life to you. I want to keep what you say because what you say feeds my soul. And that vital connection produced the manifest presence of Christ in His life that fueled and sustained Him even though He didn't have anything else. This is the solution to loneliness. It's to become a person who goes, I want what God wants. I want what you want, Lord. This is why in Psalm 25, verse 14, you may say, but I've tried to connect to Jesus and it doesn't work, Pastor Brian. Psalm 25, verse 14 answers that. It says, friendship with God is reserved. Everybody say reserved. He's got a reserved section. Did you know that? Who's it reserved for? It's reserved for those who are perfect? No. It's reserved for those who reverence Him. Another term is those who fear Him. Those who are terrified to be away from Him for 1 second because they go, man, the scariest thing in the world to me is to go like this. And the fear of the Lord makes me cling to Him for dear life. The reverence for God pushes me in closer to him, causes me to draw near. And the Bible says that friendship with God is reserved for those type of people. What is friendship? Intimate, personal, real, manifest relationship. God will never manifest himself in a place or in a person's life where he is not held in the utmost reverence. He won't do it. You say, why am I trying to connect to God and it's not working? It's kind of like, you know, if you go to a foreign country and you try to take your American plug and go connect it, and you're like, man, this thing doesn't fit in here. It's like, I need a converter. I need an adapter, right? And when we come to Christ, you just come the way you came. It doesn't connect at first. Why? Because you need to be converted. You need an adapter that only he can provide you that will allow your connection to fit into his connection. And guess what? If you or God has to change, guess who's not changing? Him. You get to change. The good news is he's provided the power for you to change. He's provided the adapter so that your plug will fit perfectly into what he has for you. Can you say amen this morning? I'm preaching better than you're saying amen. I got to throw that out there. We're running out of time, but let me tell you a couple more things. There's a paradox in Scripture because in Jeremiah 1:5, you know what it says? This is God talking. God says, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you. He knew everything about you before you were even created. Every intent, every thought of your heart, every detail, every potential you had, every weakness you had, he knows you deeply and thoroughly. That's what it says in Jeremiah 1:5. And that word to know you there is the Hebrew word yada. But you know that there's another word for God knowing us in the New Testament? And it's the Greek word gnosko. And we see this word appear in Matthew 7:23, where Jesus said, on judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. But I, Jesus, will reply, I never knew you. But wait, he said, I knew you before I formed you in the womb. And now Jesus is saying, I never knew you. It's a different word. You know what the word gnosko means, to know you? It means to know you relationally, personally, by experience, reciprocated in both sides of the relationship. He's saying, I knew everything about you, every detail of you, and I loved you, knowing all of your strengths and your weaknesses. He says, but for many, he's going to say, I never knew you relationally. I never knew you intimately and personally, not because I didn't want to, not because I didn't give you access, but because you refused to unplug from all this and to plug into me. To have Jesus say to you, I never knew you, is the most tragic and needless thing that could ever be said after the lengths that he went to bridge the gap between us and the Father. After all he poured out on the cross. Let it never be said about you. You know what true loneliness is? True loneliness is having access to God, but him not having access to you. Because you've closed yourself off. Part of this happens when active disobedience takes root in our lives. And even though maybe we were connected, as we begin to just do our own thing and go our own way, it weakens and it weakens and it weakens and it gets like this. And then maybe one day we don't notice, but it falls off because we're in disobedience. And maybe one question you should ask yourself is, what was the last thing that Jesus told you to do? Have you done it? Are you willing to do it? Not because this is a performance, but because if I'm going to have a relationship with my Creator, there has to be a reverence and an awe and a respect and a fear of the Lord to say, I don't disregard your voice, Lord. When you show me something in your word or you speak to me in my heart, I don't blow it off, God. I say, no. I'm terrified to take one step away from you, Lord. I need to be near you. Are you hearing me this morning? You say, well, what about the connection with other people in my life? Doesn't that matter? Well, yeah, it does. You know what Dietrich Bonhoeffer said? He said, God's companionship is not a substitute for human companionship, but look at this, but it is its foundation. There's no way you can have a healthy, life-giving friendship or relationship with somebody else if you don't get that connection correct first. That is the basis, the foundation for every other right relationship and vital connection you'll have in your life. We get a clue about this in the great commandment. Look at Mark 12, verse 30. And Jesus said, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. He said, this is the first, somebody say first, first commandment, the primary thing. But then he goes on, he says, and the second is like it, but it's second. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. He says, first we do this. And then out of that, God brings into your orbit the right people at the right times in the right ways so that you can love them like he's loved you. And he feeds your soul and you have what you need. But listen to me. Making other people the root and the source of your deep heart level need for connection creates an unsustainable drain on them and on you. If I try to get from you what I can only get from God, I'm gonna drain you and we're both gonna be disconnected. Can you say amen this morning? People can ease the ache of loneliness for a moment in your life, but only God can heal the loneliness of your soul. Human relationships help us feel connected, but only the Creator can know you fully, see you fully, and satisfy the deep hunger in your heart. And I'm here to tell you this morning, if you don't deal biblically with your loneliness, you will only compound the problems by creating idols that are ill-suited to give you anything but death, ultimately. But you know what God promises in Psalm 68, verse 6? It says this. It says, God places the lonely in families. He sets the prisoners free and gives them joy. And how does that happen? Well, first I do this, and then God gives me an orbit. And he says, I'm going to place people in your life that are in the orbit that keeps you connected to me. You'll never have to disconnect this to go find a person that I have for your life. So you wait, and God will place you in a family. God will place you in a spiritual family. God will place you in a church. God will bring the right person into your life at just the right time, as long as you say, this is first and foremost. He's the one who does it. We don't have to do it. He says, I'll make you a helper. Amen? So let me end with this last scripture. John 14, verse 15. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Fear my name. Plug into me. He says, and I'll do this. He says, I will pray the Father, and he will give you, look at this, another helper. Isn't that what he promised in Genesis? I'll make you a helper just right for you. You thought that was just a wife or a husband or something like that? No. He's going to do you one better than that. He says, he will give you another helper, the one who sticks closer than a brother, the scripture says, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you. And he will be in you. I love this last part. He says, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. And if I've been speaking to any of you this morning, that's what you need to hear from Jesus this morning, that he is ready and waiting to come to you to heal that orphan spirit that's caused by the deep chronic loneliness of disconnection from God. Whether you've been saved but you've disconnected, or whether you've never known Christ and you need to connect for the first time and get your converter, today's the day. Would you stand to your feet with me this morning? Did you get something out of this? This is your moment. Altar prayer team, would you come on up? If you're here this morning, I'm going to put this out there. And whether it's for the first time or whether it's to reconnect, if you're going, man, I need to connect to the Father and give him everything this morning. Would you just lift your hand? I want to know who I'm praying for this morning. Who wants that deep connection right now as we pray? I see you. I see you. I see you. Come on, who else wants it? I see you. I see you. Amen. I'm going to pray for you right now. Let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, you promised to never leave us helpless, to never forsake us, to never abandon us, to never desert us, that you wouldn't leave us orphans, that you would come to us, that you'd fill us, that you'd live on the inside of us, Lord, that you would give our soul the fuel and the life that only you can give. Lord, I'm praying right now for my friends in this room. Lord, for those who have never known you and those who have maybe forgotten. Lord, would you refuel and fill them right now? For that person who's coming to you, God, I pray that you'd give us the power and the grace to confess and repent of our sin right now. Lord, we lay down everything, every counterfeit connection, every false way, every sin and idol and want that has nothing to do with you, God. We cast it aside. We don't want that. We want you. Jesus, have your way in our spirits right now. I'm praying and asking you. Lord, would you save and redeem us from the inside out? You need to understand, he is right there. He is closer to you than the person sitting next to you right now. And all he's doing is knocking to see if you'll open the door in your heart for him. Lord, we let you in. We welcome you in. We open the door of our hearts, saying, God, connect us to you. Lord, I thank you for the work you're doing in hearts right now in this room. We praise you for it. In Jesus' name, and God's people said, amen. Can you praise him today before you go? Hey, if we can pray for you, we're ready. Anything and everything. We love you so much. I pray that God continues to speak to you throughout this week. We love you, and we'll see you next time. Have a great day.